Good afternoon, Atlanta. Good afternoon to IFAMA. Thank you very much for the kind invitation. I'm very, very pleased to be here. I love the video. I love the energy. I love the youth and the upbeat nature of it. And it really it kind of describes the challenges, but it feels a whole lot more like opportunity than challenges to me. So IFAMA, a very cool organization. I don't need to tell you that. That's why you're here. And it's a cool organization because you focus on solutions, you focus on the future, you look at innovation. And it seems to me that's the nature of what we do. I like the video because it sets the challenges. But so often these keynote speeches, this kind of thing, 99% of the speech talks about the problem. And then the last 5 minutes is the solution. So I think by doing the video, it means I don't need to talk about the challenges. We all know it. We all make the same speech. I sat through the student case competitions that Mary referenced. I don't know how many of you did that. But the passion, the talent, the focus on solutions is really humbling. And I think Mooty, the tomato business, is in really good hands. So I hear the winners are going to be picked tomorrow at lunchtime. It's going to be a long wait for the teams. And I wish them the best. They did a great job today. So, agriculture. A bunch to do. Agriculture is really at the crossroads. We're at an intersection in many ways. So, compared to not too many years ago, agriculture now is prime time. There's more people interested in agriculture than ever before. Often they don't know much about agriculture, but they're really interested. And that's a juxtaposition because it means that although they don't know much, they do have an opinion, and that opinion needs to be heard. So as we think about this little world that's forever turning, it's warmer, it's drier, it's hungrier, it's thirstier, it's dustier. There's now also a new competency that we all need more than ever before, and that's the ability to communicate. So we need to address the challenges in the video, but as an agricultural industry, we need to get much, much better, I think, on how we communicate. And we need to talk much better about the what, the how, and the why of agriculture more than we've ever done before. So we're at a crossroads, and I think we're all looking at the same intersections, we're all looking at the same fork in the road, and the question is, how do you satisfy demand by 2050? My guess is that a piece of the solution on this 2050 challenge that IFAMA has set is it rests more on people and talent than it ever has before, and Mary mentioned that in our introductory talk. We had dinner last night. We had dinner with about a dozen people, leaders from across the ag chain, from all different walks of life. The words that I took out of the dinner, and it was a fun dinner, but the words that I took out were talent, cooperation, people, youth, women, education, and fourth graders. You say, why fourth graders? Well, when you set a 2050 goal, you have to start pretty early in the education curve, but we talked about fourth graders and how do you improve science education here in the US, but around the world? And it really starts somewhere in that third or fourth grade at school. So how do you feel about 2050? How do you feel about 2050? I take that as a resounding yes. I have to tell you, for me, it kind of depresses me a wee bit. You know, in 2050, I'll be 92. For some of the people that I've met today, if you're 23, you'll be 60. So 2050 is a long haul. It's a long way from here. I think it's a bit too depressing. But I think 2050 is far enough out that it sets a trend line from here to there. Here's a few numbers. These are the only numbers I'm going to give you in this talk. Nigeria in 1970 had 57 million people. Nigeria in 2050 is projected to have 389 million people. Tanzania in 1970 had 14 million people. Tanzania in 2050 is projected to have 139 million people. The reason I call out Tanzania and Nigeria is when I'm 92 and you're 60, Tanzania and Nigeria will be number 3 and number 5 on the most populous places on earth. Go figure. I mean, that's one for cocktails tonight. Japan peaked in 2010 with 126 million people. China is projected to peak in 2025 with 1.4 billion people. And India will peak a little bit beyond the IFAMA timing in 2060, when I'll be 102, with 1.6 billion people. So Nigeria and Tanzania are on the move. That's the numbers section. So a big piece of this conversation is around agriculture as a career and the talent pool that exists and how we build on that towards 2050. I have to tell you, when I started in agriculture, it was the road less traveled. And agriculture then, and I know many of you experienced this, you go to parties and people would say, what do you do? And you say, oh, I'm in agriculture. And then there was that funny pause, and then they would say, oh, I'm terribly sorry. Or how unfortunate. Now the secret's out. Now when you go to a party and you say, I'm in agriculture, usually they say, I hope you're not part of Monsanto. That was a joke. So, agriculture is now mainstream. And as a result of being mainstream, we have a seat at the table. Our opinion counts. Because agriculture is central to so many things that happen. It's an industry that's global. I thought the international, the nature of the internationalism of these presentations today just is very cool. It's the very fabric of life. It touches everything that we do. It's at the heart of the existence of our little, tiny, spinning blue planet. So if you're thinking about a career and you're thinking about 2050, I believe passionately that in agriculture, regardless of the piece you play in, you can make a difference. This is something that has real relevance. We have labs in Ankeny in Iowa. We do a lot of our mapping work there. We do a lot of genomics there. When you walk into those labs, and I know some of you have, there's engineers, agronomists, bioinformaticists, molecular biologists, marketing people, robotics people. We have mathematicians that are building algorithms. And the really interesting thing is, one, the diversity of these communities. Two, they're working on a collaborative network that didn't exist 10 or 15 years ago. So it's not just who's the smartest person at the table. It's the interconnectivity of these tables. And that's new for our industry, I think. So this is the place to be, and this is an industry that really needs you at the moment, working together to solve common goals and really significant, significant challenges. So no agricultural presentation would be complete without a talk about the weather. It's kind of part of the religious principle. We always talk about the weather. So last spring started really wet, kind of like this spring. Late and wet, and then flipped. And right around now, it got warmer and drier, and drier and drier and warmer. And we spiraled into a drought, which was the worst drought that the Northern Hemisphere had seen since the mid-1980s. Today, we're in a different kind of drought, I would suggest. And that's a talent drought. And the thing that happens in a talent drought is you don't see plants withering, you see ideas withering. And innovation gets starved in a talent drought. So The USDA forecast a couple of years back that this drought would continue through the next 2 or 3 years, and they were forecasting skill gaps in a lot of the professional applications that we see in agriculture. And I think for those of you in the room, it's really good news, because if you have marketable skills, there's a real shortage. So if you're looking for a job, welcome. I'm sure you're going to get a great reception in the job fair later. But I think for companies like Monsanto and broadly across our industry, this is a real, it's a real concern. And as you look forward, that's an increasing concern. At Monsanto, we have 23,000 people. About 9,000 of them have degrees and secondary degrees, and we're looking for more. If you look at the video and you consider the magnitude of the challenge, the future needs in our little industry are increasing to bring people in. The future innovation path in our industry is entirely built on this foundation of education and professional skills. And there's so much more that we need to do to bring solutions to growers to help them deliver on the challenges that they face in the coming years. So in the same way that we need to collaborate more within our companies and across disciplines, I would suggest that in addition to communication, we need to learn to communicate and collaborate more in a much broader space. The video looks at problems that are bigger than any one company or any one institution can solve. They're bigger than any company or any institution or any government can solve. And it seems to me that the solution set, therefore, is going to lie increasingly on collaboration and how we build partnerships between public institutions, private institutions, and NGOs. And as we look out to 2050, and I think real soon, we have to figure out where the commonality lies rather than where the differences exist. Because it's in that commonality that will unlock some of these solutions. So in that future world, I would suggest, as you look towards 2050, more than ever before, a piece of the puzzle will be unlocked by how people interact with each other. And that's why I'm such a big fan of what happens here at IFAMA. If you look to the future, I think we're going to develop systems that don't exist today. Tomorrow's agriculture is going to reduce its impact on the environment while simultaneously increasing production. This new field of precision agriculture, I think, has tremendous opportunities in leveraging data much more effectively at a much more granular level and helping growers make better decisions faster. But that will come only through collaborative nature as data sets are combined and compiled. This can't just be large-scale agriculture. These benefits need to flow to smallholders at the same time, at the same pace, with the same accuracy, regardless of size or location. So in this new system, in this new world, as we look towards 2050, you see a world where every plant counts, where the optimization of the yield of every plant counts. But perhaps more importantly, and a piece that we've missed, is every person counts as well. And it's the linkage between those two that unlocks capacity and yield. Norman Borlaug, who many of you know, and who was a rock star in agriculture and an extraordinary human being, is a Nobel laureate. He was an Iowa native son and was credited conservatively for saving 1 billion lives. Norm talked about there's no miracles in agricultural production. And I think that's true whether we look at 2050 or 2030. There's no miracles. This is tough, patient work with no shortcuts. Norm worked in the fields of Mexico, and he worked alongside peasant farmers, and he watched the grind that they went through every day, and he experienced their struggle up close. Julie, his granddaughter, is here today, and Julie would vouch that Norm was impatient, pathologically impatient. And when he heard things like, it can't be done, or it's never been done this way before, he saw that as a challenge. That was the starter's gun. If he was here and we were talking about 2050, Norm would like the idea of it. His question would be, what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do tomorrow that impacts 2050? So for the young people here, and that's the reason that I think IFAMA is so cool. Because of the young people that are here, my request, and I think it would be Norm's, is think bigger, much, much bigger, because the challenges are gargantuan. Think about bold thoughts, and for goodness sake, go faster. Don't wait until you're 60 or you're 92. Norm had an uncanny ability to tap into the young. He saw the entrepreneurs and young people, and he saw the freedom in their spirit. In 2009, to honor his spirit, we started the Monsanto Beechel Borlaug Scholarship Program. We put $10 million in, and it focused on wheat to honor Norm and rice to honor Henry Beechel. And these are two of the most neglected crops when it comes to plant breeding. They're underserved. And the idea was and is, that this would spark new innovation in wheat and in rice. In the last 4 years, we've had 52 scholars in 21 countries who are actively involved in this program. And I'm really pleased that I had the chance, dinner last night and lunch today, to have a chance to catch up with Daniel Cadell and Sarah Battenfield, who are two of the Beechel Borlaug scholars that are with us today. And I wish them the very best in the work that they're doing to unlock opportunities in the future. There's a bunch more to do. So today at IFAMA, I'm really pleased to announce that we will recommit an additional $3 million to the program, to take it now to $13 million to continue this funding on rice and wheat research in the future. The goals are the same. It's that thing about tough, patient, long-term focus. So the goals are the same. It's for new ideas and new opportunities in the wheat and the rice crop. So as I leave you, that's that signal for we're getting to the wrap-up. As I leave you, I have to tell you, as a Scotsman, I'm a contradiction because I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic, and I'm optimistic because of you, because of the youth in this room and what you represent. My ask to you would be, treat 2050 as a guidepost, because what you do in the coming days, months, and years shape irrevocably what your children and grandchildren will harvest in 2050. But a big piece of that future starts with the action that you take between this meeting and the meeting next year as well. So 2050 is a guidepost, but start now. There's never been a greater opportunity in agriculture. There's never been more asked of farmers, and you can help in so many ways. Think about innovation, think about collaboration, think about how you work together, and use your networks. My experience at Monsanto is the limitation in these challenges usually isn't the science. The science is usually advancing rapidly. The limitation is the strength of your networks. The limitation is your ability to collaborate. The limitation is how fast you can reach out and bring others to bear on these challenges. So, perhaps most importantly, as I wrap up, the single most important question is to stop and ask yourself what road you'll take today that will lead you to the biggest impact in your world tomorrow. And I know that for many in this room, that choice is going to be agriculture. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.